Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house, the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you all, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Indeed. You know, a bulletin says that scriptures this morning are from Judges chapters 13 through 16. But our text will be various verses from chapter 14 and chapter 16. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Judges chapter 14 and then follow along when we review the specific verses. And may God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. And although Rebecca did touch on the story of Samson quite well this morning, and included some of the points that I will make, we will take a different approach to the lesson that we are to learn from Samson in this book of Judges. You know, Samson was born at a special time in Israel's history. Seven times this nation had rebelled into apostasy, which is the renunciation of faith in God, or the renunciation of God. And at the time of our text, God's chosen people had once again rejected Him. And this time, God used the Philistines to punish and oppress Israel for 40 years. The Philistines were Israel's worst enemy. And then He decided to send someone to serve Israel to battle the Philistines on behalf of His people. And that person was Samson. And the name Samson means little sun, S-U-N, or little sunshine. And in the darkest days of Israel's history, a little sun came into the world. He was a Nazarite who took the ascetic oath. This oath is a vow of self-denial and is used as an expression of personal and spiritual discipline. So therefore, Samson was different from the beginning. He was set apart from others. This vow, this Nazarite vow, was not to drink any wine or fruit of the vine, not to touch or go near a dead body, whether it be animal or person. He was not even to attend funerals of family members. When you take the Nazarite vow, you don't even go into places where your family member is dead. You don't go near a dead body or touch it. And lastly, he was not to cut his hair. And our text teaches us that the Lord gave Samson great strength. As Rebecca mentioned, on one occasion he tore apart a wild lion with his bare hands as if you would tear apart a young goat. On another occasion he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. And then there was the time that he lifted the gates of the city, post and all, out of the ground onto his shoulders and carried them up a hill. Now, I was thinking, and maybe you were too, wonder if Samson looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was in his heyday as a bodybuilder. I doubt that. Probably not. More than likely, he looked like an ordinary person. The reason I say this is that, as we know, Delilah asked him the source of his strength. So I would assume his physical appearance, as far as his body structure, was not a clue as to why he was so strong. But Samson was a supernatural strength. In each instance that we have in these four chapters of Judges, our text, when he displayed this strength, our text states that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. For example, let's look at the instance with the lion in Judges 14, 5 through 6. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. And as they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. And then in Judges 14, 19, we read, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave them to those who had explained the riddle. But not only was Samson strong in body, he was also strong in mind and spirit. We're told he was sharp-witted, he loved riddles, and he was a happy young man. Yet, this is not a happy story. It is indeed a tragedy. Samson went from hero to zero, from victor to victim. Destruction, disobedience, defeat, and disgrace were his downfall. Samson was bold before men, yet weak before women. And although he had the Spirit of the Lord upon him, Samson had the appetites of the flesh. He was called upon by God to declare war upon the enemy of his people, Israel, to declare war on the Philistines. But nevertheless, many times he was found fraternizing with the enemies. Samson fought the Lord's battle by day and broke God's commandments by night. As I stated, Samson's name means little sunshine. It speaks of light, and yet his life ended in darkness, for his eyes were gouged out by the Philistines. At times, Samson soared to incredible heights in his service to the Lord, and on other occasions, he sunk to incredible depths. If you had told Samson early in his young life that he would act the way he did at the end of his age, he probably would have thought himself incapable of doing so, of falling so far from God's grace. And this very fact should remind us that there are three people in this seat with each of us. One is the person we are now. Two is the person we could be for God. And three is the person we could be for Satan. It's a choice that we have to make. God gave us freedom of choice, and it's a choice that we could make. Was Samson saved? I believe so. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that famous chapter of heroes of the faith, Samson is mentioned. So Samson did not lose his salvation, in my opinion, when he committed these sinful acts in his life. Because if a person is truly saved, he or she does not lose their salvation. However, one cannot choose the consequences of one's actions, regardless of whether you are saved or not. Being saved doesn't mean you don't have the punishment for what you've done. You don't suffer the hurt. And Samson paid a high price for his low living. And we'll look at the price that was exacted upon him in a moment. But first, let's look at what actions Samson took that led him in this downward spiral, resulting in the dire consequences that he ultimately suffered. First of all, Samson was disrespectful to his parents. We read in Judges 14, 1 through 3, Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young woman, a young Philistine woman. When he returned home, he said to his mother and father, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His mother and father replied, Is there any acceptable woman among your relatives or among all of our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? Dishonoring his parents, being rude to them, ordering them around, this was the first step, I believe, in Samson's downward journey. He had godly parents who pleaded with him to avoid the Philistine woman, the unequal yoke, if you will. And the fifth commandment tells us that we are to honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Samson thumbed his nose at his parents and died at a young age, beaten and broken and blind. Secondly, Samson deserted his vow that he made. He took the Nazarite vow not to drink wine or fruit of the vine, not to touch or go near a dead body, animal or human, and not to cut his hair. Look at Judges 14:5 again. This is where it says he went down to the vineyards at Timnah. And down here is a geographical term, but it has an additional meaning. When you run away from God, you go down. Read the story of Noah. Remember we talked about Jonah going down here and getting a boat and going down there. And he kept going down and down and down until finally he went God's way. Samson went down to the vineyards of Timnah, a place that he should not have been. Now, granted, it doesn't say he partook of any fruit of the vine or he drank any wine, but he's going to the vineyards. And we may think, well, that's a minor thing. That's a small thing. Just going to the vineyards. But how often do we know that it's when we are just flirting with sin that we begin that slide down the slippery slope? The devil works at us in small increments, convinces us that because it is such a small thing, that it will be of no consequence. You can go by the vineyards. You can go by there. You don't have to drink anything. So he's starting to get away from the vows, the Nazarite vows that he took. Look at Judges 14, 8 through 9. This is after he's seen the woman in Timnah and he's going to marry her and he's headed back to marry her. Sometime later when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. Now this is the young lion that he had torn apart with his hands earlier. In the lion's carcass was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. In fact, he gave some to his mother and father, some of his honey. Of course, he did not tell them where it came from. So here he is taking honey from the carcass of a lion. What was his vow? Not to go near a dead person or animal, or particularly not to touch it. And here he has reached into the carcass of this lion and scooped out this honey. Again, violating the terms of his vow. He's losing focus. He's beginning that downward spiral. And now let's look at how Samson distorted the purpose for which God placed him on this earth. And look at Judges chapter 14, verses 10 through 14. Now his father went down to see the woman. This is the woman that he's going to marry. And Samson made a feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. When he appeared, he was given 30 companions. All right away he's associating with the wrong people. He's associating with the Philistines. He's associating with the enemies of God's children. But he's given 30 companions. He's marrying this Philistine woman. And he says, "Let me tell you a riddle," Samson said to them. "If you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes." "Tell us your riddle," they said. "Let us hear it." He replied, "Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet." For 3 days, they could not give him the answer. The riddle he posed, of course, was based upon the experience he had with the lion, dipping out the honey out of the carcass. Out of the eater, which is the lion, something to eat, which is the honey. Out of the strong, again, which is the lion, something sweet, the honey. Now, these people could never have, this is a riddle he posed based upon an experience he had had that no one was privy to. His parents didn't even know he had killed the lion. And here, these people are going to try to solve it. No way they can solve it just with their own intellect. So they ask his wife, this woman, this Philistine woman that he's married, they ask her to entice him to reveal the answer. And they threaten to burn her and her father's household in verses 15 and 16. And when she turned on the tears, Samson, again being weak with women, told her the answer. Now, Samson is playing games with the enemy, playing games with the Philistines. He's not fighting God's battle. He's fighting his own battle. He's making a mockery. He's distorting the purpose for which God placed him there. He's playing games. And America, ladies and gentlemen, I turn to them in this sermon this morning and tell you that we are no longer fighting the real enemy, Satan, but we're fighting battles internally among ourselves. And if we don't start fighting the battle that God wants us to fight, just as Samson stopped fighting, the consequences can be just as dire for this country as it can. And as it was for Samson. God gives us gifts and spirits to use for his benefit. And if we prostitute ourselves and use them for the wrong purposes, God will exact the judgment upon us. Now, fourth thing Samson did was he defiled his purity. Samson's situation continues to get worse. And remember this statement, you've heard it from others, it's not unique with me. I think I've used it once or twice in sermons, but remember this, sin takes us farther than we want to go, keeps us longer than we want to stay, and makes us pay a price higher than we intended to pay. So here's Samson now. Look at chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Here's Samson. He's married, but his wife has now been killed, been burned by these people and her father's household. They have been burned to death. So in chapter 16, we read that one day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn we'll kill him. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Look at how the plot thickens here. Samson is looking for prostitutes and trashy women, and he finds them. They don't come to him. Satan doesn't send them to him, but he goes to them. He finds these women. Sin has this blinding effect on us. Sin has this desensitizing effect. This isn't the first prostitute with whom he's associated. And it's easier and easier, I would imagine, for Samson to fall these women. Proverbs 6:32-33. But a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. The consequences of sin are endless. If we do not stop and correct the mistakes we are making and do not ask for God's help to help us correct those mistakes, it never ends. We can't do it with willpower. We can't say, I'm not going to use profanity. I'm not going to use profanity. I'm not going to use profanity. And will ourselves to do something. We're not that strong. We need God's help. And Samson needed God's help and had turned away from him. And finally, Samson diluted his power. He's now enamored with Delilah. He doesn't marry her. We aren't told he marries her, but he's enamored with her. He's in love with her. And money is offered to her to attempt to find out the source of his strength. The Philistine leaders go to her and said, each of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver if you will find out the secret. And, of course, she goes and begs him. And Samson toys with her. First of all, he tells her, if you tie my hair if you tie me up with new ropes, new thongs that have not dried, I lose my strength. Didn't work. So then he tells her, if you weave the 7 braids of my hair onto the loom and fasten it with a pin, tighten it with a pin, I lose my strength. Didn't work. They tied him up with, he says, if you tie me up with new ropes that have never been used, didn't work. Each time, each lie, Samson gets a little closer to telling her the truth. And this is the way Satan works. As I said, it's not big leaps and bounds normally. It's little increments. Satan was whispering in his ear, you can tell her. This is the woman you love. You can tell her. So finally, Samson tells her the truth. He gives up the source of the vow. I say the source of the strength, and I think Rebecca did too, but really the source of his strength was the Lord's Spirit upon him. But we have come to believe through the years that it was his hair, because once they shaved his head, he did become weak. And I think that's because he violated the vow of self-denial, the vow to God. All portions of it, just about. He violated that. And so he tells her, and sure enough, they come in and shave his head. And For the fourth time, she says, "Samson, Samson, wake up. The Philistines are coming." And he thinks, "I'll get up like I did before. You know, I'll break any bounds that they put upon me and take care of business." But he could not do it. He could not do it. He had passed the point of no return as far as diluting the power that God had given him. And now comes the saddest verse of all out of these four chapters. Chapter 16, verse 20. "Then she called, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' He woke from his sleep and thought, 'I'll go out as before and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him." But he did not know the Lord had left him. Samson had lost his power and was totally unaware of that very fact. The Lord had left him because of his sinful living. And there's some here in our congregation today who do not realize how cold they have become to God. They do not realize how far they have strayed from God. And the great lesson in this book of Judges is not that God wants to punish and judge. It's that God would rather forgive than have to judge us. And along the way, Samson had numerous opportunities, daily opportunities to correct the mistakes he was making, the taking up with prostitutes, the touching the dead carcasses, going through the vineyards. But he did not take the opportunity that God gave him to fellowship with God. He went all the way with his sin. And sin binds, and sin blinds. And yes, sin grinds and grinds away at us. And that's what happened to Samson. He was put into captivity and he was made to grind the grains of the Philistines. He was a mockery. He was made fun of. He was a joke. And the only thing that saved him was when his hair began to grow back. And even in the downfall of America, which sadly we seem to be witnessing already in progress, there is hope. As I stated, God would rather forgive than bring judgment upon us. He would rather have forgiven Samson than to have to allow the Philistines to gouge his eyes out and make a mockery of him, make a fool out of him. But Samson didn't give him the chance. If we insist, however, on God's judgment, if we don't want forgiveness and we insist on God's judgment, he too will use that to win many souls, to wipe out his enemies, just as he did with Samson. He allowed Samson enough strength to tear down the pillars of the temple, and it says in God's word, he killed more Philistines in his death than he did when he's alive. And we know of 1,030 that he had killed. And God used that as a means of letting others know that he was God and he would exact his judgment upon them. And many turn to him. I hope it doesn't take that for our country. I hope that as I pray that our leaders will wake up and ask God to forgive them and to ask God to guide them, and that we will do the same. And if you're here today and you have been paying the price, the high price of your low living, you have an opportunity to give up that lifestyle, to come forward and say, "Lord, I want you as my Lord and Savior. I want you to help me to battle the weaknesses in my life."